Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Friday morning, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. In this hour, we start off with an open discussion of issues in the news and beyond. We call it the Roundtable Panel. Joining us this morning, College of St. Rose Communications Professor of Note, Mary Alice Mulgard. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Second time or third time this week?
Second time this week, and I was here 2 days last week.
Nice to have you here, nice to have back in our region. A University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo.
Hello, happy to be here.
You don't look too shell-shocked after your first week back.
No.
It's nice to have you here as well. WAMC's Alan Shartok is also here. Good morning, Alan.
Meow.
Well, before we start with our topics today, just want to mention, for those who missed the news this morning with David Gustina just moments ago, officials in Montgomery County have declared a state of emergency after last night's storms caused flash flooding. The flooding caused some roads to be shut down in the Mohawk Valley and the closure of a 65-mile stretch of the Erie Canal. And WAMC News, all over this one, we will have the latest updates as the day wears on. But more flooding, more soggy, wet weather here in the region.
And poor Montgomery County.
Yeah.
They've just been hit so often. I spent a lot of time in Fort Plain after the hurricane, and that region has just been so badly damaged over an extended period of time.
Yeah, and, you know, they start clearing up from the hurricane, and then more flooding comes, and it's just tougher and tougher. So our hearts, our minds are with them all and with you all if you're listening in that region, and we will have the latest news here on WAMC. But first, business at hand, and that is our panel discussion today. And so we'll kick it off with chilling. I would say chilling is, it's an overused phrase. It's an overused adjective in media. But I think what Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel said yesterday qualifies as chilling in his description of the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. He says, can they be defeated? This is actually from Joint Chiefs Staff, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs Staff, General Dempsey. He says, can they be defeated without addressing that part of the organization that resides in Syria? The answer is no. Hagel says they're beyond just a terrorist group. They marry ideology, a sophistication of strategic and tactical military prowess. This is beyond anything we have seen. We must prepare for everything. And the only way you do that is you take a cold, steely, hard look at it and get ready. Alan, the interesting part of what Hagel and Dempsey said yesterday, while not specifically saying we reserve the right to go into Syria and take care of ISIS, they did not say that.
Well, exactly. And I think that one of the things that we have to understand is that the enemy, in this case ISIS, has to be kept standing on one foot. So you don't say we're not going in. You don't
say... microphone problem there. But
yeah,
Rosemary, this is another level. We have reached another level.
Yeah, we haven't. We began talking about this a little bit yesterday. ISIS is not a state player. It's now it's obliterated two former states. That's Iraq and Syria. And for us to go in and control them will take a major military operation. So my question is, do we know what we want there? Are we going to go in to just stop them and then what? What's the American interest in Syria and Iraq now?
And we had the opportunity, of course, back at the time when Syria engaged in their chemical warfare, and we did nothing to stop that situation. In fact, backed away completely from it. So, you know, now we are stuck in this position, rocking the hard place right now.
Sure. If you want to go back and lay blame, I still go back to knocking out Saddam Hussein, who, horrible as he was, held this whole area in check and in balance. And now it's ethnic warfare.
It
basically
would certainly seem, and really at this point, probably not expedient to go back to those days and discuss
Correct.
It. However, it would
Correct.
Seem that there was more religious tolerance. Christians practiced Right. without too much oppression.
They certainly weren't beheaded and flayed and shot in the back of the
so
head.
So your point is well taken. However, reality on the ground now is...
We have a new deal to deal with.
Exactly. And up to now, the president has been very measured, and most people would say very measured, in a containment strategy against the Islamic State, so-called Islamic State. Now does it get to the point where, as John McCain says, Now we have to, quote, defeat them. Alan, are you with us?
Yeah. No, I'm awake.
Oh, your microphone works. Well done.
Yeah, but I'm thinking that Rosemary's comment is really germane here, because if, you know, we really do have to understand what we did there. There was a sort of naivete that if we went in and made friends with the people on the other side from the power boys, the Saddam Husseins and the others, that they would reward us and, you know, and be our friends. It turns out, and we should have known it from Osama bin Laden, we've said it again and again. So that the reason that when we're talking about the present Ray is that we really should understand exactly what we did and what we shouldn't do in the future. That's my takeaway from Rosemary's comment, and I think it's well worth having said.
The email address, by the way, and I've, again, at the outset, failed to give the email address. It's roundtable.
Oh,
boy. Well, you see, I forgot yesterday. I forgot today. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'd love to hear from you. If you keep it relatively brief, it increases your chances exponentially of actually having your comments read on the radio. Now, in context of all this with ISIS or the Islamic State, depending on which news outlet you're listening to, same thing.
Well, it's they who keep changing their name. It's not the outlets that are wrong. They're just a bizarre group of people, and they have changed their names at least three times.
And right, and maybe again, in the context of all that's going on, there is another journalist, Stephen Saltloff, right, from the U.S., who is being held by this group. And basically, I would say the takeaway from the beheading of Foley earlier this week was, stop what you're doing, stop the airstrikes,
right,
and we'll play ball with you. U.S. pretty much delivered an emphatic, that's not the way
that
we're playing. They pounded targets near Mosul Dam yesterday. Mary Alice?
Well, it's critical to have that Mosul Dam. So if they're saying, you know, we're going to execute another person, it's just a strategy that is unfortunately not going to work at all, and it may result in the death of another individual.
I'm curious to see. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe you have, Alan, some polls showing American people and their thinking on this. I was one of many Americans who did not want us involved in Iraq when we were there. I wanted Obama to get us out. I was happy when he pulled us out. And now it's a whole new ball game. And do I want troops to go in to stop ISIS? Again, it goes back to, I don't know what we can accomplish there. I want some thinking about that.
Well, it seems to me it's a perfect, if that's a terrible word to use, but this is the kind of warfare that can be accomplished without putting boots on the ground. We have sophisticated air support services. We have weaponry that is so good that we can have specific targets. And, you know, it's been pretty pinpoint so far.
But,
and why not go
yep.
further from that perspective?
But Alan,
I agree.
You know,
yeah,
from
well.
A media standpoint, Alan, what Mary Alice says is accurate. However, when you only rely on air power, you're always going to have civilian casualties.
Yeah.
And from a media standpoint today, here in 2014, Alan, that becomes more and more problematic for, quote, the good guys, doesn't
yeah.
it?
I'm sure that the White House has their eye on that one in terms of polling and public opinion. Certainly, I have heard a great deal from folks on that subject. Nevertheless, there are choices to be made. Do we want to put, 100,000 American bodies there, or are you going to just follow along and do what seems to have worked in the case of the dam? So I think there are choices to be made. I wouldn't want to be making them, but yes, there will always be civilian casualties.
I'm not a fan. I don't think any of us should be of this pinpoint, wonderful life-saving bombing that we do. It all it does is destabilize an area. Now we've destabilized a huge area. And what is needed is a political solution afterward. We are no closer to that in Syria or in Iraq than we ever have been. So we go in and start bombing again.
We're no closer, but the incidents are going to continue to occur. If there is another execution, then I think that there is nothing to bar us from escalating the assaults.
I do agree that I would be very worried if I were the family of the second American there. These guys like this. They like the drama of it. They like the power of it, and they like embarrassing the United States. But we used to make war based on what was best for the country, not what was best for individuals. So hard as that sounds, Soltlok and Foley put themselves there.
Okay, and then there's the issue of ransom that you just mentioned,
right.
And I want to discuss that. Let's take a short break, and the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. If Mr. Hopper would please give us an underwriting break, we'll be back.
Support comes from Double H Ranch, Lake Luzerne, providing outdoor Adirondack adventures for children with chronic and life-threatening illnesses. Presenting Camp Challenge Rider Run, September 6th, a serious fun camp. DoubleHRanch.org. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, opening their 30th season this October with the musical The Addams Family at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park. HomemadeTheater.org. Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Serving hibachi dinners, sushi, sashimi, curry soups, Thai, and entrees, offering daily specials. 518-432-0358. And Jaguar Albany at Capital Luxury Cars, Route 155, Albany, New York. Featuring the 2014 F-Type Roadster, the new 2015 F-Type Coupe, and the full Jaguar lineup. CapLuxCars.com.
The Roundtable on WAMC. Friday morning panel discussion with Rosemary Armeo, Mary Alice Mulgard, Alan Chartok, and yours truly, Ray Graff. The email address here, the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. And Alan, you have some.
And we do. We caught a couple of fish here. PB says, the biggest question to understand before America jumps into another war is, who is ISIS? Who is financing ISIS? Who is giving them their moral support? And that is from Peter in Woodstock.
Okay, Peter.
And then Eric wrote a very interesting post hoc, propter hoc question, which is... Mr. Gore, and said, would we be where we are now if Mr. Gore were the president? That's what he says.
Right. Okay.
And I just wanted to let you know that those two opinions are on the board.
Okay, roundtable@wamc.org is our email address. And Rosemary brought up the question of ransom. Yesterday, the news came out that ISIS, if you want to call them ISIS at this time, offered a ransom, an exorbitant ransom for Foley in the last days of his life. There has been discussion now, as there always is, about whether it is ever appropriate to pay the ransom in these cases. Rosemary, you first.
Yeah, I think the whole world is making a mistake turning soldiers into individuals. That's part of the sacrifice for which we respect our warriors.
Reporters as well?
Reporters as well. The foreign journalists who went over there knew the danger they were getting into. And when you put an individual life at high stake like that, I think you endanger other people. I think we saw it in Israel and Gaza with individual soldiers, remember, disappearing. And now we're doing it. The American lives, it's horrible that this is happening. Please don't get me wrong. It's horrible. But you don't make decisions based on what's going to happen to the country on an individual life. Paying
and,
money that
And what happens
them,
if... Yeah.
Go,
yeah,
go
exactly.
Ahead.
And what happens if you give them $100 million, which is what I think the demand was? That is, does it just encourage more and more and more and more? I think the answer is yes.
But there is a precedent for it. We know that many of the European nations pay ransom. Italy has paid, Germany has paid, France has paid for people in past circumstances. And deals are made very quickly, very quietly, and the people come home. So there there is an option, but I don't think the United States is even remotely considering doing it.
We saw precedent.
Well, think about the amount. Think about the amount of money, $100 million. What did the Bank of America just settle all their misdoings for with all that money? So $100 million, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, I agree. We saw the precedent for this also in piracy, where lots of governments, including the United States and private industries, were paying to get their people away from the pirates. But the solution to piracy in that area of the world is not solved until the U.S. Navy goes in, and they deal with it as a state issue, not an individual issue.
All right. In the 2 minutes, or a minute and a half or so we have left before we take our news break, I'll run this to the panel and try to have you look in your crystal ball and see. Alan, what happens in the next 48 to 72 hours in Iraq and Syria?
What happens?
What happens? What
do, I don't know.
What is the U.S. going to do?
Oh, I think the U.S. stays tight. I think they just do what they continue to do what they're doing right now.
Yeah, I think it's status quo. I don't think with this being Friday, I doubt that there would be anything that would happen.
Why now would we? Well, surely not from a news cycle standpoint.
No, but in terms of religious observations, Friday into Saturday is usually fairly calm on the ground, and I doubt that there would be much action to provoke something in terms of an American response.
Will we ratchet up the response, Rosemary?
I think that we are going to ratchet it up slowly and eventually maybe into something major.
Have we now lost the demarcation between the ongoing events of the past year or two in Syria and what is going on in Iraq? Is it now the same situation?
Oh, I think ISIS has changed the agenda, yes.
I agree. I think that they're a different player.
It's a fascinating question raised, I think, on NPR yesterday. As to whether or not the power brokers in the old Syria are playing this for all it's worth and hoping that this will weaken the opposition. It's fascinating. And by the way, Ray, we've got a whole bunch of comments.
Okay, and we will take those, sir, right after we take some news. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Again, you know, Alan loves to read the email. We love to hear them. If they're really long and they contain links, they probably end up on the cutting room floor. So keep them brief, keep them link-free and cogent, if you will, and we will read them on the other side of the news. Love the bumper music Mr. Hopper provides. Kind of a 70s vibe today. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? It ain't bluegrass, but it's nice. Alan, you got a gig coming up, yeah?
Well, we got the Berkshire Ramblers on the 30th of this month, Saturday night at the Guthrie Center. It's made up primarily of WAMCers of one kind or another.
The group?
And you know, Selma Kaplan and Donna Frank and me and, of course, Roselle. And we sold it out the last time. It'll be sold out this time. If you want to get in on it, you got to call the Guthrie Center and get your tickets now, because I won't be able to help you with all my massive influence later on.
And that's August 30th, right?
That's right, I hope.
Okay.
That's right. It's a Saturday night.
So right. I assume you are in heavy rehearsals for the gig right now.
No, we will have one pro forma rehearsal. We like to say, as Pete always said, of the Almanac singers, we like to do our rehearsing on the stage.
Yeah. Well, that keeps
while it, we're doing the performance.
Keeps it real.
Yeah, that's that nice. Keeps it real.
It
yeah.
is the round
table. Like the round table.
Indeed.
We rehearse on the air here. It is the round table. It is the round table panel. It is 9:37 on a Friday morning. And the email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. And, Alan, I understand we have a slew of email.
We do. Bronwyn, great conversation this morning. The ransom for Foley was actually $100 million, which is significantly more in dollars than $100 million. While the executions and kidnappings of Americans are horrifying to me, I really believe that we cannot engage in paying ransom or meeting the demands of the terrorists, because it will simply validate their methods and encourage additional horrifying incidents. While my emotional side wants to obliterate ISIS, my logical side wants us to stop our involvement in these Islamic countries before robbing them of any power in the West. Love the station, says Bronwyn.
Mm-hmm.
And then And then Marcus says, given the amounts of money spent and the number of lives lost, and then coupled more importantly with the United States' extremely low profile in the Middle East, if United States is to escalate its activities, it should do more in a wholesale fashion. In other words, it should not just go in and remove the problem, but completely restructure and implement an entirely new system. It would be extremely unpopular with the local population, you say that again, but we are already extremely unpopular, so there would be no loss, and in fact, the future there is a chance for is. The future there is a chance for a game in popularity. Okay, so that's from Marcus, and then there is folks from Peter. Reports have him until lately assisting them to undermine his original insurgents. Thus, are on the ground. Intel is thin and pinpoint bombing oxymoronic. That's from Bonnie. And then. Let's see now. And then Michael, Terry Gross last night had the CEO of a news organization that Foley worked for, and he was in contact with the family during the whole time. He said they were in contact with the kidnappers by email, and they said that they would never, that they would have accepted $5 million. He said this was the case with other released hostages as well. And then Nathan, one of my biggest fans, says, can you cut Alan's mic more often?
Oh, cut it out, he's Nathan. So, that's, you know what?
He's so pretentious and hard on the ears. And then
you know,
Mark
if you
says,
go to the bluegrass gig, Nathan, they don't use microphones or any electronic equipment, so you can hear Alan sans mic. Or do you use a mic?
Yes.
You use amplification?
Well, we don't on the instruments.
Okay.
Except for most of the instruments, but we do use mics, yes.
All right, fair enough.
Hello, a quick comment. I take issue with one of the commentators who said that Obama had an opportunity to do something in Syria and did nothing. This is a strange comment to make since just 2 days ago. It was reported that the U.S. successfully finished up disposing of Syria's chemical weapons. I call that something in quotes that was achieved, and that's from Mark from Vassar. And Sharon says a coalition of moderate Arab countries, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, et cetera, should lead the coordinated effort to take out ISIS and other intolerant terrorist groups. They threaten all civilized nations and people who want to live in peace and moderation. And that's from Sharon.
That's a great point that the Arabs have been missing both in the Gaza conflict and in the ISIS conflict.
But just for a terminology standpoint, is in fact a country that subjugates women a moderate Arab country?
Compared to ISIS, yes.
Okay. I would say Saudi Arabia is not necessarily a moderate country with regard to women's rights.
No, it's horrible.
And not only that, Ray, but some of these countries are on opposing sides. And I think an earlier letter said, okay, so who's giving ISIS the money and who is encouraging them in the beginning? So it's not as if all Arabs are, have a single agenda here. They don't. Okay,
absolutely.
And Jeff wants to know, why do we give Israel nearly $4 billion in aid each year? How does it affect our standing in the Middle East? Julius says, sorry, but air power alone does not complete the mission. Somebody's boots on the ground are always necessary to mop up. And as long as political and ideological strife continues in the region without resolution, the fanatics will come back. Fresh Air last night covered the whole Foley story very well, including history of the ransom demands, ISIS response to bombings, etc.
Wow.
And then it goes on and on.
I guess we should have just replayed Fresh Air this morning, apparently. Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Here we are.
Well, I'm in bed by that time, so I never did. So
well, after the Rifleman, it's lights out at the Shartok household.
No, the Rifleman I watch in the morning.
Oh, no,
the Rifleman, that's right. Rifleman at night, I watch Steve McQueen in Wanted, Dead or Alive.
Fine program.
In the morning at 5.
So in the context of, is that it for the letters at this time?
No, actually, there's more.
Okay.
And it's up to you.
Well, it's up to you.
And Eric, no. Eric says, premise one, if we don't contain Islamic State, they will come after us with attacks inside the U.S. Premise two, if we stop fighting Islamic State, they will have no incentive to attack the U.S. And that's from Eric in Rhinebeck, who wants the question is what America's security interest is. Mattman says, pinprick bombing really rolls off the tongue, huh? Gives new meaning to million points of light. And then as I
refer, I don't think I said pinprick.
And then Peter wanted to know, and I said, who is financing ISIS? And I think that's where we came in.
Exactly.
And I think that Bill says, it's too long. If you believe in pinpoint bombing, you are one gullible journalist, and you probably believe that when the Bush administration said that the Patriot missiles were 98% effective. Have you ever been on the ground during pinpoint bombing, and on and on?
It's funny. During the news, I went in and checked my messages and had a call from one of our listeners, Sandy, who said, I think it was his father or his grandfather, had been on the ground at D-Day. And he said his grandfather told him, we were waiting and waiting for the air power to soften up the defenses, mm-hmm. and it just didn't work out that way.
Yes, so, that was 1944.
Right, you are.
That's a good point.
You're a professor. You have the dates down. Mary Alice Malgard is here. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, also a professor. Oh, they're all professors. Good heavens. It's the first time ever I'm the dumbest guy in the room. It's 9:40.
That's the first time that's happened.
It may never happen again, to be honest with you.
And you are anything but the dumbest guy in the room.
All right.
Friend.
So in context of all that has been going on in Iraq and perhaps in Syria, there is this controversy, if you want to call it. And I will quote here from a rather snarky article in the New York Daily News by James Warren. At least it begins in snarky fashion. Here are the first couple of paragraphs. Maybe backgammon might be a better idea for President Obama. The putterer-in-chief played golf again Thursday on ritzy Martha's Vineyard a day after he raised eyebrows by segueing seamlessly from a statement on the terrorist butchery of ISIS to the lynx. And then there are those, including a former top aide to Dennis Hastert, who says the optics are terrible. He is more vulnerable to those charges given his general disengagement. We'll start with you, Alan.
Well, I truly believe that this is a cheap shot. It's the kind of thing that the Republicans do again and again and again. Their own guys were on vacation more than this president. Presidents need time off. And by the way, there is no such thing for time off with a president. They obviously have, instant communication with everybody in the world. I'm sure it's the most equipped golf cart in the history of modern civilization, probably costing billions so that the president can be kept informed at every moment. And this is just cheap. It's cheap junk. I was going to use another word, but we
I'm glad you didn't, because the dump button is here, but I'm glad you didn't. Now, Rosemary, is symbolism at some point important? Now, we had a mayor who was not on hand during the hurricane.
Right.
And a big deal in downstate. Right. Is symbolism important?
Yeah, the media carries some blame for this. I contrast Obama's treatment with Cameron, the leader in the UK who came running back from a vacation. There's a picture of him in front of Downing Street, opening the car, rushing out, kind of in shirt tails, looking all concerned, like he did something. Nothing happened because he was at Downing Street, the same way that where the president is doesn't make a difference. And, what is he supposed to do, like rent his clothing and pull his hair? I remember that the week my father died, I actually ate ice cream. I told jokes with my kids. Mm. This was someone who directly affected me. This is the president dealing with a military and a personal crisis. So what's wrong with playing golf? He needs the break, as Alan has said.
Well, go ahead, Mary.
Well, I don't think it's a problem that he plays golf. I think that, as you say, all presidents, no matter who they are entitled, if you do the comparison of the number of hours that Bush and Reagan cut brush and took down trees and did all the things on their various ranches, there were hundreds and hundreds of days of difference. All right. What I think is that term optics. All right. The optics do look bad. Even at the press conference on Martha's Vineyard, the president looked a little bit casual. instead of appearing
in... doesn't have to wear a tie every time, though, does he?
That's part of it. I mean, that's the thing that we expect our presidents to look presidential. And he has a little bit of an open collar, and, you know, that I think contributes to this. And then right away, the reporters follow him out onto the links, and he's in the polo shirt and, you know, the khaki pants and that. And so the visuals are troubling. But that doesn't mean that he is not interested, nor does it mean that he is disengaged in the issue. It's just that what it looks like.
It comes
down
to professor, symbolism.
Professor, I certainly agree with you, and I think he ought to be wearing, ashcloth and sitting in the corner.
No. I don't mean that either.
Being a human being.
But he, the camera does convey that image. Right, that he is.
I do. I think
loose.
This is all immaterial stuff, and the media is partly to blame. And I think Republicans are remembering what happened to George Bush when he looked out the window as he was flying over New Orleans, devastated by the hurricane there in 2005. Mm. We need to stop this. It's what the president says, not what he's wearing.
Okay, and also the president has full control of wherever he goes of the weapons, or not the weapons, but the mechanisms of leadership at hand. However, that said, not just Republican criticism here. Democrats also, quote, flinched a little bit. That's according to Jim Manley, a longtime Democratic strategist, says, as a general rule, I think he has the right, that he's right, that you can't be held hostage to the news cycle. The man deserves a bit of downtime. But in this particular instance, I think a lot of Democrats flinched a little bit. Ezra Klein, editor-in-chief of the online news site Vox, normally sympathetic to the president, said golfing today is in bad taste. So not just on the Republican side are we seeing at least say, hey, this doesn't look right. We know you have your finger on the pulse.
So if he'd waited 3 hours and then gone out and done the ground of golf at 5 o'clock rather than in the middle of the afternoon, what difference does it make?
Exactly.
He was still relaxing. It's his vacation. All right. It doesn't mean.
And then the story would have been. And then the story would have been. He's on Martha's Vineyard. I mean, it wouldn't have to be golf.
Well, I agree with Rosemary. The result of this, I think, is that you're going to see presidents and other leaders cutting out photographic coverage of themselves. So you're not going to see what he's doing on vacation, which is far worse to me than seeing him in a polo shirt.
Okay, well, let's take a break here. It's roundtable@wamc.org. That's the email address, boys and girls, roundtable@wamc.org. We'll take a break. We'll shift gears. We'll be back.
Support comes from Bread and Honey, a neighborhood bakery and cafe, serving breakfast sandwiches and lunch featuring artisan breads and bagels, all handmade on premises, 809 Madison Avenue, Albany, 518-567-7158. Thomas Cole National Historic Site, Catskill in New York's Hudson Valley, presenting their new exhibition, Master, Mentor, Master, Thomas Cole and Frederick Church. Open Wednesday through Sunday, thomascole.org. And Camp Hill Ghent, Chatham, New York, independent living townhouses, apartments, and assisted living for elders in a rural setting, minutes to downtown shopping and entertainment. CampHillGhent.org.
The Roundtable on WAMC, Friday morning, 9:52. Ray Graff here for Joe Donahue. Rosemary Armeo is here. Mary Alice Mulgard and Alan Shartok. And the big news yesterday, at least domestically, New York gets $800 million in Bank of America settlement. This is from the Times Union. New York State will get $800 million as its share of a national $6.65 billion settlement with Bank of America over its role in the sale of mortgage-backed securities in the run-up to the financial crisis. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman said on Thursday, the nation's second-largest bank has agreed to pay the state $300 million in cash, $500 million in the form of direct relief to consumers, including mortgage modifications, new loans, donations to communities, and financing for affordable rental housing. Rosemary, $16.65 billion is a lot of money, but not exactly as it seems.
Yeah, we've been talking about this on the break. I asked the question, how much should Bank of America make on these fraudulent mortgages? And I've not seen that figure anywhere. I suspect that it was probably a lot more than $16 billion. And they're not really going to pay that much. much. They're not getting hit as hard as it would seem. They're going to take a major tax break on the money that they're paying out. They will make borrowers cover some of the burden of this. It's not as big a pain to them as you would think from the headline.
Alan?
Put another way, it's a $5 tip.
Yeah, I agree with you.
In other words, this is no pain. I'd like to see the money go. By the way, most of the money is going to go allegedly back to paying back the people who got screwed under all of this thing.
I'd like to see what mechanism is going to be put in place for that to happen.
Right, but the money that the state does get seems to me should go right into the Tappan Zee Bridge, as opposed to taking it out of environmental protection money, which is what the governor seems to want to do.
Well, isn't this the second potential large payment?
Yes.
There was one just a couple of weeks ago from another bank, and I'm not remembering which one it was. But, maybe that's not so far-fetched to take that money and put it into single major projects that otherwise are going to suck the rest of the
right.
As I understand it, the state's getting
that's
$300
right.
million in cash.
Right.
Right.
And then the other $500 million will go to help the people who are actually hurt by all of this. But it's not like a break, really. They're getting like mortgage modifications and new loans and financing for
maybe.
Affordable housing. Yeah, maybe if it's set up right.
maybe they are. But,
we sound
but
very skeptical, don't we?
Yeah. Well, but
well,
I like
in
what
New York.
I like what Mary Alice said, because you know this is so-called one-shot money. You don't get it every year. It's not returning revenue, so mm-hmm. a recurring revenue. So what you do is you put it into something that is one-shot in itself, like the bridge, which I'd rather pay that money than to up the thruway tolls, which you know is going to happen.
That never happens.
No, but it's going to happen this time.
No, yeah,
they
I'm
say, oh,
joking.
No, I know you are, Ray. I'm used to it. The best thing about you, Ray, is your wonderful sense of humor. It really is.
All right.
I enjoy it every morning. No, people should know that you're a funny guy.
Okay.
That
all
was
right.
the shot again, wasn't it, Ray?
That was a shot. He always gets a shot.
No shot.
Beware the compliment.
No shot.
People, beware the compliment. Only a couple of minutes left.
Well, that's
here.
What Roselle always says. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roselle always says every time he's Roselle always says every time he's nice to anybody, there's another nuance to it.
Yes. And Alan, I have not checked the email hopper. I don't know if we have anything in there at this time. Anything new?
Okay, yes. Yeah. Scott says, I resent President Obama's extravagant vacations. I barely get a day off. I end up burning vacation to cover shortages of work because my employer is a sweatshop operator. Another example of separation of classes. I am getting really tired of the Democratic Committee's attacks on Rob Astorino. Is there any reality in their claims or accusations? If so, he should be in jail and not running for office. And then Ryan says, I just wonder what the press, what if the press had caught him playing more of a common person sport, such as bowling or the like? Yeah, these guys should absolutely do whatever is good in the polling. Yeah, that's
well,
a good point.
You know, president's golf. This was the president's 192nd round of golf, according to the Daily News. He's still not the first in that list. Dwight Eisenhower. He's way behind Eisenhower and Woodrow Wilson.
And Bush. George W.
Well, Bush didn't
you know what Harry Truman's sport was?
Yeah, they loved
what was
you
Harry
know
Truman's
what Harry
sport?
Truman's
no,
sport?
I don't know.
Walking. He walked every morning.
Okay.
That's a
can't,
very sensible thing to do.
You can't do that now.
And
there's
he lived
all kinds
into
of
way in
security concerns now.
Well, they couldn't with him either because, as you may remember, he got shot at by the Puerto Rican nationalists of the day, who were some of whom were just recently pardoned.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, and these
good history.
If it was today, he'd have a treadmill and there would be no photo ops. It would be right in the White House and it would be all set. The email address here, roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Only a minute or so here to go. Any big plans for the weekend, Mary Alice?
The Bern Summerfest
Ooh.
Is this weekend.
Now, what is
this? Is the
that
lovely little town that I live in.
In Bern. Great.
We have a summer festival, and we'll have food and children's games and fireworks
Ooh,
tomorrow night.
Exciting.
Yay.
What about you, Alan?
Well, I was just going to think that if there's a good time to have a Bern festival, it's in the summer, so you can get a
sunburn.
We should have talked about drones.
And
You can't really bring up another topic with a minute and a half to go. But if you want to talk about
drones. But Tom says if you want nice things, you have to pay for it. Therefore, a rise in tolls. That's what he says.
Okay. I thought the tolls were supposed to go away a long time ago under Papa Cuomo.
Yeah, they were. The George Washington Bridge was a quarter, and they said as soon as it was paid off, this is one of the great lies of all time. As soon as it was paid off,
we have fantastic roads, and we should be happy to pay tolls.
Really?
I've driven in countries where there are ruts. I am happily paying my
tolls. To be honest with you, I've seen a lot of ruts on New York State roads.
Because we don't pay enough.
Really?
That's why they have to go up. Yes. You have to pay for services in this country.
Well, apparently we're not paying enough.
But the question is,
that's why they're going to go up, and I'm going to happily pay them. We all should.
Well, why don't you pay mine if you're so happy about it?
Yeah. That's very controversial.
Been down the Street Hill lately.
All right, Alan, you get the last word here. We have 15 seconds. Go, man, go.
So long, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Well, come on. That's all you got?
What?
All right, that's
fine.
What
do you want?
All right, that's good. We're done. The week is over, everybody. You can relax, stand down. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Thanks to Mary Alice Mulgard. Nice to have you here this week. Very
Thank
nice.
You, sir.
Rosemary Armeo, so nice to see you again. I thought you were gone for good.
Nope.
Alan, I suspect I'll see you again on Monday, yeah?
I suspect so, if the creek don't rise.
All right, my friend. You're listening to the Roundtable. Another two riveting hours ahead.